You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yes, I talked to Andrew Little this morning about sexual violence in juries. Just a content warning before this clip, there's some sensitive topics discussed, but here it is.
Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Frances Joy Child, who's part of the Queen's Council, was quoted saying that sexual violence is breaching very private physical and psychological boundaries, and this has only been understood in our generation. The research that she alludes to also backs up her thoughts, showing that sexual violence is unlike any other kind of criminal assault. Do you think that the current judicial system is empathetic and the right system for these kinds of sensitive cases?
I think it's pretty clear that it's not. And if you look at the research about the level of underreporting of sexual violence and the low conviction rate of sexual offenders, then it tells you that that there's something wrong. We know from talking to victims of sexual violence that the next most traumatising thing for them after the event itself is usually dealing with the justice system, and particularly those whose offence leads to a prosecution and the victim is then required to give evidence. That can be an extraordinary traumatising experience for them. It just puts people off. So there's been some work done for some time now, a lot of work over many years, to try and find ways to make the system less traumatising, less re-victimising of victims, and that work is continuing.
Yes, I was reading a case study and it kind of detailed both the passage of one party seeking closure through the justice system as well as the jury's passage through the justice system. And one of the reports from the jury detailed that largely people were after evidence, like they wanted hard physical evidence. What kinds of evidence do you believe are sufficient in a case of sexual violence?
Look, I think when it comes to prosecuting these sorts of offences, obviously the police and Crown Solicitors, they're going to need to know that there was an event, that there was sexual contact, it was non-consensual, and there's a number of factors pointing to whether or not it was non-consensual, usually bruising, and there's usually clinical and medical evidence to support that. So it does get very intimate, and indeed for the victim of an act of sexual violence, once the police are involved, they need to undergo a medical examination that can be very intrusive. That then becomes evidence. I think what many victims struggle with is that they are the victim of sexual violence. They go through the process, evidence is gathered, including a statement from them. They are required as a matter of evidence to make a statement in court. And so a lot of work has been going on how that can be less traumatising through recorded evidence, so they don't have to physically be there, don't have to be physically in front of the perpetrator of the violence against them. So the jury, juries need to see that. And, I guess the principle we have in our system is the Crown has to prove its case. It has to prove that there was this particular offence so that if there is a conviction, they can then get the right sentence and so on as well. So you do need that sort of evidence. It's about making sure that for a jury that they get the evidence, that for the victim, that getting evidence to secure a conviction of the offender against them isn't going to re-victimise that victim.
Do you think that the current system of juries is the best way to move forward with a justice system for sexual violence cases? Do you think that there are perhaps too many external factors that affect a jury, alluding to the genders of the jury or any predetermined opinions of who the foreperson of the jury is?
Yeah, I think, it's one of the tensions you might say in our justice system. We want a system, particularly when it comes to finding the guilt of somebody, and therefore, if they're convicted, being sentenced often to a prison sentence, being deprived of their liberty, that's a huge step to take. And so one of the safeguards goes back, several hundred years, is to make sure that citizens are involved in, making some of those decisions, that it's not just technical laws and judges applying technical rules, that you are judged by a jury of your peers. That's what it's meant to be about. I like the idea of that part of our justice system, to putting aside the sexual violations of the cases. I think that's important for public confidence in our judicial system, particularly when it comes to serious offending, which is where jury trials apply. Should that apply in relation to cases of sexual violence? I think the problem then becomes is how do you write a set of rules where you exclude some offences but, you know, retain juries for a bunch of other offences, especially where the whole purpose of a jury is to get to satisfy the community of a level of guilt of the offender that justifies them then being, you know, the recipient of a reasonably harsh sentence, which could be deprivation of liberty for a period of time, and what have you. So I think the jury becomes an important element in it. Again, I go back to what is, with the benefit of our kind of modern understanding about the impact of these sorts of experiences on people, what is it we're wanting for the victims? We're wanting to take to the best extent we can the trauma out of trials for victims, and we've still got a lot of work to do in that regard.
And you believe that a jury of citizens or jury of peers is perhaps more what we need than a select panel of experts or academics on an issue? Do you think the public would have more faith in a jury of citizens?
Yes, I think the, that seems to be what the history of it is that people like to know that there are fellow community members who have as much chance of being put on a jury as a, you know, regular panel of people who might be kind of routinely doing this sort of stuff. And it is part of the mechanism, if you like, that is about giving general public confidence in our justice system and the way it operates, particularly in the criminal justice area, and when it comes to casting judgment on somebody who's done something wrong, if that, you know, is going to lead to a prison sentence. And so I think it's important that there is that level of community confidence, not just having, you know, panels of experts.
Certainly, I guess it's a huge part of representative democracy in a way. It's been suggested that perhaps a different range of verdicts would help the process of going through the criminal justice system for grieving parties. Do you think that there needs to be perhaps another verdict, such as not proven, as a psychological improvement for grieving parties over the kind of status quo options of guilty and not guilty?
Yeah, I mean, this particularly comes up in relation to the victims of an offender who is later judged to be insane at the time they committed the offence. And so they hear the words not guilty by reason of insanity, and yet we all know the particular person who's been found to be insane actually did this heinous thing that has either, you know, caused somebody's death or caused them serious harm. I'm sympathetic to that view. I can understand how when a person, the putative offender, has caused serious harm to somebody, but then you hear the words they're not guilty when they clearly have done something, that is, you know, that is very difficult to accept. So it is about finding a form of words that says that, well, this person has done this, but because of their state of mind, that they were insane, they can't be held responsible for their actions. So they're not guilty in the criminal sense because they're not responsible for their actions, but they did do something that caused another person serious harm and in some cases death. And I accept that we need to find a form of words that encapsulates that. And I've agreed with advocates of that particular cause to work with them to find, you know, a form of words that we could use for a verdict of that nature.
Are there any other ways that you see we can make the criminal justice system slightly more psychologically safe, especially for those who have suffered such trauma?
Yeah, I think, it's an ongoing factor of responsibility, I think, of the criminal justice system and the policymakers around it and the decision makers to make sure that process is not psychologically damaging to people, particularly to victims and families who have been affected by crime, and for witnesses, particularly for child witnesses. And also, for that matter, where juries are involved, for jurors who, you know, juries in criminal, you know, very serious criminal charges can be confronted with horrifying evidence and images and pictures and stuff. So I think, look, we do need to be sensitive to that, be cognizant of it, but we still need a system where those basic principles of criminal justice have to be met. You know, the Crown has to prove its case. The defendant has a right to a defence, whether they give evidence themselves or just rely on pulling apart the Crown case. Those are the principles that we've got. when, you know, if we think about the criminal justice system as the system that can deprive an offender or defendant of their liberty, in some cases for extended periods of time, you know, the principle has always been the state should be put to a high degree of proof before that happens. This is, the rules of evidence and the rules in our court systems are much about protecting the innocent as they are about making sure that we get a good decision. And those principles, you know, remain very important.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.